Today, the title of my message is, What is on your mind? What do you think about a lot? What kind of crosses your mind? What things do you tend to focus more on while you're thinking, while you're just relaxing and just letting your mind float away and just go whatever direction you're going on? All right, today we're going to talk about the fact is this, we have a mind. But God wants that mind to be focused on Him. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, it says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were you. Were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Okay? We were all in that same boat before we knew the Lord. We all, in one way or another, fell short of God's glory. In one way or another, all right, we sinned. In one way or another, there, as much as we tried, sin always dominated, always had its way. Right? Now, because we have received Jesus, now it says we've been washed in the blood. Our spirits have been cleansed, have been washed clean. It's not a partial, it's a completeness. That all that you was tried before, it's gone, washed away, no longer accountable. We're a new creation, we're a new spirit in Christ. We were dead once, now we're alive in Him. Okay, and that's what the washing has done, because we've been sanctified. Wash means to be free from the penalty of sin. That penalty that was upon us was paid for at the blood, washed away clean. In fact, Father says He doesn't even remember it anymore. Our past sins, our past failures, our past disobedience, our past rebellion, all in the past is gone, washed away, never to be remembered again. That's what God did for us. Sanctified means to be made holy, to purify, to consecrate, to render pure. Our spirits now have been rendered perfect, pure in God's sight, acceptable to the Father. Before sin had its way, now we've been washed in the blood. Therefore, now we are acceptable. We are pleasant before the Father. In fact, He calls us His sons and daughters. Justified means to render innocent. It's divine favor now that we have received Jesus. We've got a whole brand new life before us, all right? The spirit is cleansed, but we still have the body, and the body still can sin. Though we've been set free from the power of sin, sin still can have its way. And what this message is going to be on the fact is that as He, Jesus Christ, cleansed us and washed us and purified us, now we need to have to walk in that washing and cleansing. But it is responsible for us to submit our bodies that Christ will do that. All right? In Colossians 3, 1 and 2, it says, Then if you are raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Before, our thoughts were always on things of the earth. Always thought, in fact, most of our thoughts was always about ourselves. Because before we knew the Lord, we pretty much, me, myself, and I, that's what counted. Nothing else mattered. Right? He's saying us now, we've got to change our way of thinking. Completely different from what it was into a new way of thinking in Christ. A new way of thinking in our relationship with the Father and how He is doing the work in us and how we can come into that intimacy with Him. In Colossians 3:10, it says, And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. We're a new man in Him now. Now we need to be renewed. We need to be changed from the way we lived before into a whole new way of living, with a whole new direction, a whole new purpose. It's almost like literally God is going to change the atmosphere around us. We had an atmosphere of the world and all it had to offer. Now it's going to be an atmosphere of actually flowing and functioning, right? In the spiritual and the supernatural, in God's presence. In fact, Psalm 91 says, They that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. What he's declaring here, we can come into that secret place where we abide in him. And we can stay there. We don't have to leave. We don't have to get tossed to and fro. But we can flow and function from that relationship. And I believe this is what the Father is looking to do for us by his Spirit, to bring us into that intimacy and closeness where we flow and function from our place. Because Jesus said, we sit in heavenly places in Christ. So therefore, there's a place available for us. It's not for when we go, but we can do it now. We can operate and function from our place in Christ Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 10, 22 and 23 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confessions of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We've been washed with that pure water. We have now the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is doing a washing within us. All right? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, dwells within us. But we also have a body that has been corrupt and still holds on to the old. And God is looking now that by the Spirit to wash that away. So our minds are cleansed, no longer having all the old having its way and memories coming back. But we have a whole new way of thinking. With the Father says that, no, my thoughts are greater than your thoughts. My ways are greater. He wants us to bring us to that level where our thoughts are his thoughts. His ways are our ways. That's where he wants to bring us to.
Amen.
And Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, it says, I beseech. Beseech means to invoke, to appeal, to entreat. Here, God is entreating us, invoking, come now. All right? This is what I have for you. By my mercies, I have presented you a way out of your sin, a way out of that judgment through my Son. Now you are to present your bodies. Doesn't say, oh, God will take care. He says, you are now to present. I've cleansed your spirit. I've made it right. I made it place for my spirit dwells. Now you need to submit your body unto what the Holy Spirit is doing. It says, a holy acceptable to God. That means we need to change. That means we cannot stay the way we were. Yes, we're cleansed by the blood, but our bodies are still in the world and still have the desire. Sin is still operating, still is trying to get its hold on you. And it's not going to give up. As long as you focus on the things of the world, you're going to subject yourself to ultimately sin will have its way. God wants you to change your mind and then focus now to operate from the Spirit, where there the flesh has no way, has no hold. Because we've been set free from it. And he goes on to say, you know, a transform means you should change of a condition in mind and heart. To change the condition from the condition you were in, where we're lost without hope, and to a newness of life. Now we have hope, and we have eternal life, we have our sins forgiven, and we have a whole new way of walking in him. A complete change where no longer you're focusing on the past, but you're looking to the future that you have in him. And I like this part. It says, all right, which is your reasonable service. All right? What God's saying is your reasonable, it's not hard. It's not something that's unreasonable beyond your capability to do, because he has declared that I will give you all that you need, that you will be successful, that you're not going to go it alone. You can't do it alone. But his Spirit is there to guide you step by step, so that now you see that transformation working with. It's not going to be overnight. You got to remember, we're pretty much a work in progress. If you think once you got saved, it's all taken care of. No, it isn't. We are a work in progress. And that work in progress is a transformation that now the Spirit desired to do as we become more and more like Jesus. More and more of now His presence is seen in our lives. And that we get to see and recognize the changes that happen within us. Because I believe we can see as the Spirit works, we see the change. We see that we're no longer like what we used to be, but we're different. And in that change, hope and joy arises knowing God's doing a work. As I submit myself unto Him, He will bring it to pass. Renewing. It says renewing the mind. It's a rebirth. It's different than what you were in the past. Your whole way of thinking is different than the way you thought in the past. When he speaks about the mind, he's talking about the heart. He's talking about reason, conscience, in opposition to the fleshly. All right, your mind needs to be changed from the things in the flesh of the world into a whole new way of thinking, a whole new atmosphere, a whole new way of looking at your life, all right, where it was yours, now belongs to the Lord. And in Ephesians 2:10, it does say, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We belong to Him now. And His whole process the Father is doing is to conform us to the very image and likeness of His Son. Change. Looking for change within us. And we've always experienced the change in our spirits. Now God is saying, now we've got to change the way we think. For as the mind thinks, so goes the person. So if our minds are focused upon the Lord, all right, that's how we'll go. But if it's focused on us and the world and all our own wants and desires, that's the way we will go. That's why God makes it so important that our minds have to be regenerated. Our minds have to be changed, all right? All that was in there before that is contrary to God, God said it can be removed, all right? In 1 John 15 and 16, says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of all life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. He's declaring here, this is what the world has to offer. This is what you were in. But this is contrary to the Father. This is contrary to Father's holiness. And God called us to be holy. And therefore, God is saying, all right, you've left that. All right, now walk with me. Because He has declared, be ye holy as I am holy. But He's also declaring, you don't have to go it alone, but I will transform you and bring you into that place of walking in holiness with the Father. God's saying He's doing all the work. We said that, I can't remember that song we just sang, but it kept saying, God said, I will, I will, I will. That's what He has declared. He will. But we need to submit ourselves fully. As it said, submit our body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. We submit, God comes and does the work. He's saying, I will, and I will change you. I will transform you. I will make that difference in you. And Ephesians 4:17 through 24 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life. Remember that, all right? When we didn't know the Lord, we pretty much, our understanding was darkened. Our understanding was just based on what we thought, how we felt, which way we want to go, and what we wanted, and what we desired, all right? And the thing is that we were alienated from the life of God. Now that we have received the Father through what Jesus Christ has done, we're no longer alienated. Now we've been made children, and therefore now we can begin to walk in a way that no longer contrary to God's word, but in a relationship where we experience God in our lives and His holiness and His changing from within us, that we can see the difference. We can know, yes, back then this is who I was, but this is who I am now in Christ. And what a difference from what I was to where I am. Before I was dead, heading into hell. Now I'm alive and I'm heading into the eternal kingdom with my Lord and Savior showing me the way, every step. Okay, it goes on to say, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Now that we have him, he's showing us a whole different way of looking at things. He's showing us what was wrong, what was bad, what separated, what divided us, what kept us out of that relationship with God. Now that in him now, all right, there is, all right, a learning in Christ where we grow and we grow. Like I said, we are a work in progress. We need to understand that every day is a new day in our relationship with the Lord. But every day is a day that we can grow in that intimacy and understanding of who he is, what he has done, and the change he wishes to do in us. Remember one thing, Jesus, all right, yes, he took on flesh, tempted in all things without sin. But the word also says, now he has come to a place where now he understands what we're going through. So that when we struggle, he understands that because he went through the same struggles. But that in him, as he had to, so can we in him. That the struggles no longer have to have his way, but in him we overcome. And it goes on to say that you put off concerning your former conduct, your old man which grows corrupt according to deceitfulness, and be renewed by the spirit of your mind. All right, our spirit has been transformed. Now the idea is to get our minds in conformity to the spirit. Because of the Holy Spirit, all right, we've been cleansed. The Holy Spirit now within us begins to show us how to walk in true and holy and right. All right, our minds not to be in agreement with that. And that's what he talked about, all right, the being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Remember what God said about the fact, don't walk by the flesh, but by the spirit of the living God within you? That's what he's talking about. When you set your mind on the spirit, all right, therefore then you will not do the deeds of the flesh. Because your whole perspective, your whole idea, your whole way of thinking and looking is centered upon him. And when it's centered upon him, all right, you will have victory over sin. You will have victory over the temptations, whatever the enemy is trying to do with you. In fact, his word says, all right, resist the devil and he flee. Well, how do you do it? Not by your own strength and ability, but you resist him by the word of God. Resist him by faith in God's promises, that what he said in his word is faithful and true, that when you speak to the devil the word, he will flee. And know that he will. But if you think because you got Jesus, the enemy don't care about you anymore, well, you got a surprise coming. Because it comes after you even more, even harder. Because he wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy your relationship with the Lord. Renew this, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We are a new person in Christ Jesus. According to God in true righteousness and holiness. Doesn't it say we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Therefore, that righteousness is imputed upon us. Therefore, if that righteousness is imputed, we therefore can walk in the righteousness of God. And God called us to be ye holy. And he said, even in that holiness, it's a transformation, a changing. And it's a process from day to day as we submit and yield to what God is doing. But we need to be willing not just to submit, but to spend that time necessary to hear from God, to know how God wants to change, to know the difference he's made, to know the way he wants us to go. In Titus 3, verses 3 through 5, it says, For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and in envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. All right? The washing and regenerating. The Spirit is regenerating us, bringing new life into us, bringing a whole new way of living and a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of serving God and serving one another. And that change and transformation is how we respond and react towards one another as well. Where he said, to love your brother as yourself. That's exactly what he wants to bring us to that place, all right, when we love one another in his love. Because when we have love one another, then when we care, we're going to have compassion, we're going to want to meet and help and that need, whatever the brother's going through. will not judge them because of their faults, but will have compassion that they're going through a struggle. And I'm there for you, brother. Count on me. I'll pray with you. I'll help you. I'll do whatever it needs to get you out of that place you're at into a greater walk in your relationship with the Lord. In Romans 8, 5, 11, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." All right? He says, where is your mindset? What are you thinking? What is your focus? I got to admit sometimes there, and one of my biggest problems, all right, I'll admit it, I hate people in front of me that drive not the way I like, let's put it that way, all right, and it upsets me, all right, and I lose patience, I admit that, all right, but you know, God's been working with me on that, and the, in his word he talks about that God, you know, said to put a new song in our heart, all right, and I believe that, so I asked the Lord, Lord, give me a new song in my heart. A song that I may praise you, that a personal song between you and I. All right? And he gave me that song. All right? And it's a simple song. I'd forgotten, I had sung it years and years ago. And it says, and it's pretty much, I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. A cross before me, the world behind me. All right? I said, thank you, Lord. Now that's, well, the other day, I took a right-hand turn. I was going to turn in 7-Eleven. I started to turn, but then somebody was backing out, so I had to stop. This car coming down towards me, and he's laying on the horn, all right? And I just say, oh, I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm like, oh, be all right, all right. Normally, I would get so upset, I'd bring the window down, I'd be yelling and screaming. I says, Lord, it seems to be working. But normally, I would lose it, especially when the guy's laying on the horn, all right? And if he'd look and see, well, I have to stop, this guy's backing out, I'd run into him, all right? But no. But the whole point is that God making a change. Why? Because I was willing to say, okay, Lord, I'm submitting me unto you, all right? And as I do, then situations will come. If you think you're going to avoid those, then it's going to happen. Because one thing about God, if you have a problem, you're struggling with something, you're going to keep working on it until you have victory over it, all right? And I'm a fine case with that, especially with the women don't take this seriously. But women drivers drive me crazy. As a matter of fact, all right, when I have to go, they'll come here. I come from Nashua. I don't do Amherst Street. With all the lights and everything, I would get here and I'd be a basket case. I go the long way because it's nice and peaceful and restful for me. And if I got, if I went that way, I don't know what message I would bring, I'll tell you the truth. I would not really be in it. Okay. All right, where was I at here? Oh, yeah. But who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. All right. We need to understand. We need to let the Holy Spirit now have its way. Because when we begin to live by the Spirit, we see things so differently. We see it from God's perspective. We see it from God's love and God's compassion instead of the way the world sees things. When something happens, okay, one thing you got to get back. You got to get even. You can't just let something slide by. Somebody does something and you want to let them know you didn't like it. All right? But with God, we're able to let these things go that bother us, that stir us, all right, to want to retaliate. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. Isn't that true, though? When we think more of ourselves, ultimately, it's death to us, okay? But to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. Let me ask you, have you gone in situations when you trusted God, and weren't you just at peace, Hannon, that it just seemed to work out, all right? Nobody? Aren't you the only one? Oh, I got one. There's two, three, four. I'm glad one guy did it. I was going to say, what is that, just the women here or what? Thank you, Earl. I was feeling alone for a minute. I'm just kidding, by the way, everybody. I hope you understand that. God loves a good laugh, right?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Okay. All right, let me see. Carnal-minded, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We're dead to sin. Now that we have Christ now, all right, we are now alive by the Spirit. We can live in a way that glorifies God. We live in a way that pleases God. We live in a way that we're an example wherever we go of Christ in us. Because we're walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit now works in us. The evidence of Christ in us, it's being flowed and seed. Like in Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3, it speaks about the fact is, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. All right? We need to understand, Christ is in us. The glory of God is upon us. But it goes on to say, right, there's gross darkness in the world and on the people. But it goes on to say, when that time comes, when you're entering into that darkness, it says, Christ will arise in you and the glory of God shall be seen. That's the whole purpose of what God's transforming us, that as we go out there, people will see Christ in us. They'll see God's glory. They'll see his radiance. They'll sense and feel his love and his compassion, all right, as we go. Because Jesus said that you lift him up, he'll draw all men. Well, he's called us to go and be that light, all right? We can if we focus on ourselves. But if we focus upon the Lord and what he's doing in our spirit and in our hearts and in our bodies to his glory, you'd be amazed how God can use us. But if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, through his Spirit who dwells in you. All right? Now, we have a new life within us now. Not just in our spirits, but it gives life to our mortal bodies. All right? In Galatians 5, 16 through 26, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And those are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Here he says, you need to walk by it. You need to submit. You need to let the Spirit have his way. And it just doesn't mean you get up in the morning, okay, Holy Spirit, all right, have your way today. No, you need to spend time with God. You need to get time in his word. You need me to communicate with him. You need to be able to begin the day understanding he's blessed us with a new day. And that day is not unto ourselves, but that day is to be that we would glorify God as we go about that day. That we make ourselves available that God would use us. So in other words, are you willing to put yourself aside in order to live for God? To give you a day. Is it going to be the day unto you that satisfy yourself, or are you going to be a day where you're going to go walk in order to glorify and satisfy God and what he purposed and planned for you? It's either one way or the other. Either you're going to live for you or you're going to live for the Lord. It's your choice. That's the whole thing we need to understand. It's our choice how we begin the day. It falls upon us. Jesus Christ paid the price for it all. Everything's made available. We lack nothing. It's all there presented to us if we're willing to step up, take it, and begin to walk in it. But it's our choice. Are we going to make up our mind to serve God? Or are we going to make up our mind and say, no, I'm going to have my way. I'm going to do what I want, irregardless of whatever happens. It comes down to us. What are we going to choose to do? He paid the price. The gift, the free gift of eternal life. We can't earn it. There's no way we can earn it. We don't even deserve it. But once we receive it, now God said, begin to walk in that newness of life that his son purchased for us at the cross. It's all been provided. So you have no excuse, really. No excuse for not walking in that relationship. He provided for it all. There's not one thing you say that he did not pay for on that cross. Not one. So we are out with excuse. But it's all through, are we going to make that choice and begin to see God now change our minds and change us in a way that now our bodies are a living sacrifice unto him. All right, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And those are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, cleanness, lewdness, and on and on and on and on and on. But it goes on to say, and those who practice these things, all right, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're walking in those things, you're practicing those things. If you're letting those things still have their impact, you're letting those things guide you, that you focus your attention upon them, God says, you will not inherit the kingdom. For do those things, it's a sin. And God said, the wages of sin is death. But in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Here he is, here says, all right. If you're of Christ, all right, if he was crucified, the flesh was crucified, so we and to be crucified with him with our passions and desire. The flesh needs to die on that cross with him, and we begin to walk in that newness of life in him. But Galatians 6:8 says, for he sows to the flesh, while of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. I got to move on a little bit there because I'm running out of time. In James 4, verses 4 and 5, says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? All right? He desires what he puts in us. He jealously desires that. And for not functioning and flowing, all right, as the Spirit works within us, all right, then we come enmity with God. We end up battling with God. We end up being in conflict with God instead of walking by the Spirit and being in fellowship and in friendship with God. In Romans 6:4, it said, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. We have a whole brand new life before us, all bought and paid for at the cross, all made available to us, so that then that we can begin to walk in that. But as I said, it's our choice whether we want to walk in that or not. We can choose to walk all the way. Some choose to go in a part way. Some choose not to go hardly at all. It all depends. Your relationship with the Lord all depends how much are you willing to surrender unto him and begin to walk with him and see him do a change in your life. In James 4, Romans 6, 4, I lost my place here for a minute. Isaiah 26, 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is set on you because he trusts in you. Hear what he's saying here? God will keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him. What is their focus? What is their attention? What are the thoughts that go through your mind? You spend a lot of time meditating, considering God, considering what he has done. You meditate and consider some of the things you've gone through, and you're amazed how it actually worked out, knowing that God showed up and took a difficult situation and turned it around and made it a blessing. You think about the Word, how that Word is supposed to transform you, and now you're seeing the evidence of that Word. You meditate and consider God. I find that, all right, he wakes me up early in the morning, like this morning, 4 o'clock. I woke up. The Lord says, go out on the deck. It's a nice morning. I went out there and I just began to praise and worship God. Just thanking for the day. Thanking that I'm alive. Thanking him that this is the Sabbath day. Thanking him for the honor and privilege of being able to present his word. Thanking him for my family that I have. my wife and my four sons, my grandchildren, my daughter-in-law. I thank him for all these things, because these all are a blessing from God. Is your mind set in that way, thanking God? Oh, we go through some trials. I'm going through a trial with my back. But I thank God every single day I'm able to accomplish what needs to be done. Instead of letting the back have its way, I'm believing God and trusting God that ultimately he's going to heal me, but until he does, he's going to strengthen me that I'll be able to accomplish what I need to during the day. Instead of saying home because I can't, because I hurt, I'm in pain, I'm struggling. No, God, you're faithful. Your word is true. You said you are my strength. You're the one that will encourage me. You're the one that will bring me through every hardship during the day. I believe that. I stand with that, and God's been faithful. Why? Because I put my mind on him and not what I was going through. And that's the other thing. If you're going through something, what is your mind focused on? The trial? On him who can bring you to victory in that trial. I mean, even James talks about faith is, you know, you're double-minded, so you're tossed to and fro. But we can come to a place in our thought and our experience with him where we can put faith and focus on him and realize that God is with you in it. Doesn't matter how long it takes, is knowing that the end of it will be you will be blessed. And for whatever you're going through, God will turn it around for your blessing. Lamentations 3:21 says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I hope." Well, what do you recall to your mind? Do you recall the past? Do you recall what you're going through? Or do you recall what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary? How he shed his precious blood. How we're washed and cleansed and made perfect before the Father. Been sanctified and justified, set apart for his good purpose. And therefore we have hope. For before we were alone, now God is with us, God is in us, and God will lead us. And God will bring us the victory and bring us the ultimate place with him in heaven. Do we recall that? What do we think about? When I got here, I was just thinking about, my brother said he was going to be coming. I wasn't sure if he was going to be coming because I'm forgetful. But he makes me look like an amateur. And so I wasn't sure if he, and then he showed up. I said, thank God, all right, my brother showed up. We're going to have a good time together. All right? But the thing is that think good thoughts. The best place to think a good thought is upon the Lord and upon his word. Amen. In Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." I believe when God said that we can do that. I really do. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We can have the mind of Christ, and therefore we are without excuse. Because even the mind of Christ is available to us, where our minds now focus and attend, and we think on him, on his thoughts and his ways. All right? So we see a change where we're being transformed in a way. We're making ourselves available for God's use, for God's purpose. All right, in Philippians 4, 8 and 9, it said, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Okay? He's here describing here, telling us here, look, this is where to focus your mind, all right, on things that are pure, on things that are lovely, things of good report, all right, things that are noble, and that are just. So he's changing our way of thinking completely in the sense of we're looking for the goodness there is, for all that is out. And when we looked at others in that same way, so we judge them not. And I've been with people where they judge a person because of the condition he's in. That's not right. That's not right. I asked the Lord, give me a heart that I see the pain he's going through, the hurt he's going through, the need that he had, that I may meet that and not judge him because of the state that he's in. I learned that a lot when I was doing prison ministry. And I get to minister to some pretty bad people. But I didn't look at what they did that got them in that place. I saw that they needed Jesus. They needed to be set free from the shame and the guilt, all right, and the sin that had so bound them up that they had no hope. They had no way out of their situation. I thank God that he gave me that I was able to minister to them because I looked beyond. And some of them were some pretty bad people. But I looked at Jesus Christ, looked at them with his compassion, with his love, and saw the need, and I was able to minister to them. Many of them came to the Lord. Because of the fact is that God's love touched them in a way. And I didn't go judge them. I had one guy that came with us. I finally had to tell him to stop coming. Because he was more condemning than trying to encourage and try to, you know, talk to him in a way to point him to Jesus. I finally had to tell him, hey, I don't want you to come no more. Because all you're doing is criticizing. They don't need to be criticized. They need to know that there's forgiveness for their sin, for what they had done. That there's a God that loved them and cared for them. If they but receive him, he would wash them, cleanse them of all that all that sin. It will be cast away. And that you can have peace in your mind and knowing that I've been forgiven. Though those whom you hurt may not, but God will forgive you. And when he forgives you, you know that you can have fellowship with him and he's preparing a place for you. Right. And I just got one more scripture, and I'll close with that. All right, and it's in Romans 15, verses 5 and 6, all right? And this is pertaining to us, how we think and react and respond to one another. It says in verse 5, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all right? God's good that we can be of one mind, one spirit, one heart, in glorifying God and in lifting the name of Jesus, proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior and being a witness and being able to encourage one another when we're struggling. Isn't that what he called us for? Isn't that what it's all about? At least to me it is. I don't know how you guys look at it. I hope you look at it the same way. That's what it's all about, being available to reach those that are lost. Those that don't have Jesus. And he's saying in his word, I've given you everything that you can be successful. But first, we have to change in order to be able to have an impact to see them changed. If they don't see the change in us, why would they want to desire? In fact, I remember all the places I worked, I always would share Jesus. And I talked to some of them, they'd say, I talked to this Christian here. He's no different than I am. I mean, I got enough problems, I don't need to take on the problems of being a Christian. Because they saw no difference. What God is speaking here, there has to be a difference. And they have to see and recognize that difference. And see that it's real. It's not phony. It's just something you're projecting. But it's a real change, transformation within you that's being expressed outward. People can recognize a phony. They really can. All right? You don't want to be a phony. You want to be a true representative of the Lord Jesus Christ and be a witness and a vessel that he can use you for his glory. Amen?